Folks, we just wanted to mention that this show was a reaction show that was live on our Twitter, something that we were kind of playing around with. But the obvious thing is that we did not address the transfer situation at all. The buys and losing Britton Pasco, DJ Hart, Marquise Siegel, and Dominic Ganella to the portal. None of those four players will play in the playoffs. And we can kind of get into maybe some of the replacements for those guys or some things that might happen roster-wise at another point. So probably next week after maybe coach's press conference. No coach ends press conference today. The bench warmers will be addressing the issue. They've played with all those guys or at least most of those guys. So the bench warmers will be addressing the transfer issue, and that show will come out tomorrow. We obviously don't address it in this show at all, just so everyone is clear on that. All right, enjoy another episode of Bison Report Radio coming up right now.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. You know, your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome to the very first live edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast, brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet, your NDSU over UND edition and your FCS playoff bracket edition. We're so very excited. We're also about an hour and 3 minutes from NDSU men's basketball tipping off a home contest against Crown College. But Crown College will have to wait. NDSU basketball will have to wait because we've got a bracket. Not only do we have a bracket, we have one of the threes. Mr. Trevor Gebhard, how are you, big dog?
Us. Am I muted or unmuted? Am I finally in there?
You're here. You're here.
We're gonna find out real quickly if this live thing is good for us or not.
Yeah, we'll find out fast.
Yeah, we'll find out. Yeah.
Obviously, here at the Bison Report Studios in Horace, Mr. Trevor Gebhard in South Carolina, North Carolina. Where are we at?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. All right.
Yep. I'm at my parents' house right now. Brought my I had swimming with Everly, my oldest. And then we came here and I had brunch with my parents and then watching the selection show. So
for those of you that are not catching this live and are catching this as part of the podcast that we normally put out, we will just get into the nuts and bolts of what happened, the actual news. And that is that North Dakota State, surprisingly enough, was given the number 3 seed by the committee. Also, surprisingly enough, though, South Dakota State was given the number 1. A lot of folks had NDSU avoiding SDSU by way of North Dakota State being the 4 and Sacramento State being the 1. It's not the way that it looked. And folks, I think, and Trevor, I think you tweeted this out, the Valley got their respect, at least the top of the Valley got their respect. You and I both believe the best 2 teams in the country reside in Fargo and in Brookings. And the committee basically said, yeah, well, they're at least 2 of the top 3. You know, we got to have a little bit of respect for Sacramento State, but they're at least 2 of the top 3.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people had Sac State 1, SDSU 2. And I mean, that really doesn't make a huge difference as far as being 1 of the 2, because you just want to be home for the entire road to Frisco there. But the committee, good on the committee putting NDSU and SDSU opposite of each other, because I think everybody knows that those 2 will be the 2 betting favorites. And it's just nice that they're finally doing that after years of begging and pleading. So well, I guess we'll see how it shakes out when it actually is played.
Yeah, I think everybody's got to be at least relatively pleased with how this shook out. I think South Dakota State's got to be happy that they can make it all the way to Frisco without having to deal with the Bison. North Dakota State has to really feel like they're a dead solid favorite to make it to Frisco. And I just feel like everybody's got to be kind of pleased other than the people that were, you know, kind of dogging North Dakota State's resume, if you will, people that were kind of, you know, like, oh, Samford should be ahead of NDSU. William and Mary should be ahead of NDSU. And I understand a little bit of that. I mean, you look at North Dakota State's resume, and there aren't a ton of super impressive wins. You know, they probably just knocked North Dakota out of being ranked. They don't have a ton of top 10 wins, top five wins, nothing like that. They played one really good team in South Dakota State, had them beat and let them off the hook. But that's still an L. It's still a loss. Right. So, you know, folks talking about, well, NDSU, what's their resume look like? I understand that a little. But at the same time, you know, I think part of it's just got to be who are the best teams? Mm-hmm. Who are the best teams? And if NDSU played William and Mary or played Samford on a neutral field, and the playoffs aren't conducted on neutral field, if that was on a neutral field, NDSU would be three touchdown favorites. So let's just use a little common sense there.
Yeah, I get the resume argument, and I was telling my dad this earlier. I mean, the resume certainly holds value. I just don't think it's the end all be all, because I think you pull out the resume and the strength of record and the strength of schedule, especially when you do not have a clear, like, okay, who's going to be the number, you know, three or four seed, for example. And I think the argument, especially for like a Samford, was like their schedule is tougher. Well, take away Georgia from their schedule. What does their schedule look like? You know? So I know that's a hypothetical, and it's not indicative of what actually played out, but playing the bona fide number one team in all of college football is going to boost that pretty significantly. So I think the committee valued the Missouri Valley at the top like they should have. Unfortunately for Youngstown, it did not trickle down. So now the Big Sky, that did. They got a lot of teams in, and I think what we'll see as this plays out is those two conferences will more than likely be represented towards the end. So,
yeah, let's talk about that, because I think that's a rough deal for the Valley. Just in the sense of it's FCS football's premier conference, cannibalizes itself every year. You know, they're in a situation where they beat up on each other and they get into the playoffs, and then they beat up on the rest of the FCS because they are the best teams. Not going to be an opportunity this year. I think UND probably loses that game in Weber State. It doesn't seem like a game that program would go down there and win. And then ultimately you just got the top two, because the Valley beat up on itself so badly this year that the best conference in FCS college football ends up getting three teams in. And then that's crazy. Like I remember the outrage was there a year they got in five, or maybe even a year they got in six. I don't know, but three just, it doesn't seem realistic as to the actual quality of the football teams.
Well, I agree, but I think where it stems from is the non-conference. It wasn't as strong of a showing. You had USD have a very poor year. Southern Illinois was very up and down. They showed flashes. Youngstown lost a game 2 weeks ago, I believe, to somebody that was kind of a tough loss. And that ultimately booted them out of the playoffs. And then not to mention Missouri State. I mean, Missouri State was a team that everyone had high hopes in. They were up by 10 against Arkansas with about 11 minutes to go, and they gave up a long touchdown, punted it back to them, and that got housed for 80-plus, and that punt return just basically dismantled the Bears' season. And I just think a lot of the teams that had high expectations and hopes to make the playoffs, just they ultimately clearly didn't do enough to get in, and the result is three Valley teams, and I think you got the three best, clearly, so.
Yeah, or go ahead. I mean, I think that's interesting, because I definitely remember following the South Dakota State Missouri State game, and South Dakota State pulled away. But about halfway through that game, it was just like, okay, yeah, these are obviously the three best teams in the Valley: North Dakota State, South Dakota State, and Missouri State.
Missouri State, yeah.
And you're right. They just never ever made it back.
It's hard to say where and how that went wrong. I do have my own take on it, and when you have a team that's heavy in transfers like they are, they're not investing in the program. So when the season's not going like they want, after they lost to South Dakota State, and I think they played Arkansas before that. They're just, they, I don't want to say they quit because that's not fair to the kids, and I'm sure a lot of them worked their tails off through the rest of the season, but you just don't have as much investing in the program, and that can translate onto the field very quickly. So that's kind of a high risk, high reward when you do take in a plethora of transfers. They had really good players. They had really good talent, but they started dropping games early. And, you know, I think the Valley starts to get a bit of a stain in terms of the national picture for them because they don't have the flash that you were expecting. So when you don't meet expectations, that's not going to sit well towards the end. And that's probably why people were saying, well, NDSU's resume isn't as great because you have the expectation of beating your FBS opponent every time. I mean, it's the first one they've lost in 13 years. So that's kind of a surprise. And when they were in their own way in that regard, gave up a 14-point lead to South Dakota State and had a chance to really put them away and didn't do it, I think people are going to have a tendency to say, okay, it's a good loss, but where did other teams have good wins? And that's where that argument does come back into play. So I do think that probably hurt the Valley too, to be honest. But it is what it is, and you got to do enough to make it. And now you let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, I was just talking to somebody about that, and I don't know necessarily like how much changes if North Dakota State is able to hold on against Arizona, because let's say they beat Arizona, they're still used to South Dakota State. Maybe they're the two seed, you know, instead of the three. They probably jump Sacramento State, but do they? I don't know. Sac State has that undefeated record and that Colorado State win, so they very well might be.
Yeah, and a conference title.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean,
right there, the three seed.
Yeah, I don't think it really changed much, as Coach Bull used to say. It's not going to change the cost of butter. It took me about 3 years to figure out what he actually meant by that, but. yeah, I think maybe it swaps and NDSU's hosting in the semis, but I mean, we've seen them be the three seed before, and they ended up hosting Richmond in the semis and blasting Jacksonville State and Frisco. So you got to win four if you have a bye, five if you don't have a bye, and take it 1 week at a time. And whoever you get matched up with, you just got to prepare and beat them. That's all there is to it.
Absolutely. As I'm messing around with the TV here now that the deal is done, now that the selection show itself is done, I'm also going to effort here using our spectacular technology where we were showing the highlights to open the show. I hope everybody heard the intro. That was the point. You know, I was hoping. Ah, wonderful. This is kind of a terrible look at this thing, but we'll go live to Twitter. Okay. Can you see that, Trevor? Not really.
Yes, I can move my TV though to pause it on a bracket. So if we need to discuss,
Well, let's just talk about NDSU's draw, because I think that's the ultimate thing that matters. You know, you've got SEMO and Montana. Montana's interesting. But their record against North Dakota State in the playoffs is suboptimal. Getting that Samford, we're not going to get to have the Samford, discussion as it pertains to what I was saying, and the quote tweet that I did, where it was like, well, yeah, I mean, North Dakota State would be 21-point favorites on a neutral field. So what are we talking about here? Not going to be a neutral field, going to be at Fargo. And then ultimately, you know, a potential, man, if it's not Davidson or Richmond, and if it's not Incarnate Word, a potential trip to Sacramento. And I think a game that NDSU would be heavily favored in, but still a game not in Fargo for the right to go to Texas. Trev, what do you think of the road? What do you think of the path? The BR chat is
Did I lose you there?
You're here. We're good.
Okay.
Likes the draw.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think it's a good draw for as far as like matchup wise for NDSU. I thought I lost you there because I had Brock. Brock was trying to call me. He, of course, probably wants to talk about the bracket, what I think, because his opinion is going to be whatever mine is.
Send him the link. Let's get Brock Jensen on the show.
Yeah, good luck. So I do like the first-round matchup. Montana's obviously gettable. They clearly showed that this last week in the Brawl of the Wild. I mean, that's your big rivalry game, and that's the game you gear up for every year. And they just got absolutely woodshedded. It was over from Jump Street, and SEMO, I would like to see SEMO, number one, because it's a new team, and number two, Their strength coach was a strength coach at North Dakota State. So Coach Ryan Napoli, I have a lot of love for him and
Coach Knapp.
Coach Knapp. So I hope we get to see him in Fargo. I know he'll love it. If that gets to happen, I know he won't love taking that L back home, but you know, I think that'd be a lot of fun. And I think that game will be really good. And then Samford matchup is interesting. I think it'll put everything to bed as far as that argument of ranking them ahead of NDSU because of ranked wins and, you know, what it looks like on paper. That could be a potential interesting one because quick history lesson for you. In 2011, Georgia Southern played both the FCS and FBS national champion. They played at Alabama, actually had the most rushing yards on them that entire year. And that's the famous Coach Saban quote where he says, they ran through us like shit through a tin horn. That's in reference to Georgia Southern. And then, of course, we played them that year in the semis. Well, if Samford, they play Georgia, if they go on to win it, and then they get a matchup in the quarterfinals with NDSU, you could see something similar, another SoCon team playing the FBS and FCS national champion. So that could be kind of fun. And then Incarnate Word and Sac State, Incarnate Word is intriguing. They absolutely have bolt raced their competition. Remnants of Sam Houston. I think they would be like kind of the new Sam Houston is kind of where I put them in my mind. So them matched up with Sac State, I think could be an interesting high scoring game. And then, you know, whatever happens from there is obviously going to dictate if NDSU would travel or host, barring they take care of business too. So every team is good at this point. I do think the betting lines would heavily favor NDSU, but at the end of the day, you still have to execute it on the field in between the lines. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So the draw couldn't be better. I think everyone's hoping for that NDSU-SDSU Frisco matchup. And as it stands, it does look like a collision course for that to happen.
Yeah, I think Sacramento State has to be very pleased that that game's at home, but they cannot be thrilled about being on North Dakota State side bracket.
Yeah, I mean, so last year, Sac State hosted SDSU in the first round. SDSU had to play in the first weekend because they got beat on that Hail Mary at USD.
Right, because they had four losses last year, yeah.
So they had a heavy road to Frisco, and it was very travel-heavy and eventually caught up with them playing at Montana State and Coach Vegan getting them. But Sac State seeing another Valley team on their side, I mean, you're probably going to have to beat a Valley team to win it in Frisco. I mean, that's just how it is right now in FCS football. So it could be something new for Bison fans. I would certainly try to do everything I can to get to that game if that happened. Likewise, if an Incarnate Word snuck out and it was in Fargo. So
I might pack the golf clubs.
Well, I knew you would. I didn't either. So
let's chat. We got him up on the screen now. Takes from yesterday's game. We haven't, you know, obviously this is probably the closest recap show we've ever done to a game. North Dakota State winning 42-21 over UND, playing the highlights here from the game. I think the most important or the most impressive thing to me, was the domination offensively. Eventually NDSU buttoned it up on D, but man, I just felt like without Lipke, without Mason Miller, without Gindy, without a lot of guys, they really only stopped themselves. I mean, the NDSU could have been in the high 50s if they had kind of kept the, I think, roll at some point. And we got some complaints about play calling. Those are always great when you have 500 yards of offense and 42 points. But at some point, I think roll started playing, you know, the clock versus clock versus the score, as opposed to, you know, whatever else was going on. What did you see offensively that you liked from that group? Because, man, was I impressed.
What I liked is it was a more of a complete game and it was a clean game. That was the cleanest I think they've played for four quarters all season. And that was the perfect time to do it. Get momentum going into the playoffs. Give yourself a bye, get guys who have some boo-boos, some time to get healed up and maybe some guys who are out for a lengthy period of time and get them back. And just earning that bye, I think was the key after winning that game. But just being penalty free for the most part, not doing it at critical moments, executing when you needed to, converting third downs in big moments, and Cam just stepping up again and again and again and again. And that kid's a gamer, man. And that's what gives me a lot of encouragement going into the playoffs is when you have your quarterback and, you know, in this case, number seven, being that efficient, now being able to do that on tape to run the ball. Now teams have to put 15 minutes of prep every practice for him to run the ball just because of what he did in that game. So I think that bodes well for them.
And I tell you what, brother, and you're on mute now. I can hear your kids. I saw some stuff about UND fans, you know, believing that Schuster was as good as Cam. NDSU fans still not bought in on Cam. I don't get it. I'm lost. I don't understand it. I can't grasp it. I'm flabbergasted. I'm bamboozled. I'm befuddled. I'm all of it. I don't understand what people need from this kid. I don't get it. Like he has been everything they've needed him to be in big game after big game. They won a national championship with him under center. He's made play after play. He just tied a school record with 5 rushing touchdowns on the ground when the scouting report is that he can't run. He was unbelievably efficient with the football yesterday. Doesn't turn it over. Doesn't put it in danger. Although they did drop a pick 6, whatever, the ball went to the ground. Schuster hit NDSU's linebackers in the hands 3 different times and had a hilarious fumble. I don't get the disrespect for number 7. I do not understand it. And like I said, even I'm listening to UND fans telling me that their buddies who are Bison fans think that the weak link on the team is the quarterback. I don't get it.
Am I off mute now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. My mom came up and put my son down for his nap. He was getting a little cranky for his nap time, but yeah, I might need to turn the light back on here. So, sorry, I lost my train of thought there. We're talking about Cam and kind of the give him his flowers.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah. I don't get it either. I think what people tend to look at, especially from quarterbacks in this era, especially to now more so like in the last few years, more in particular, is people like to look at gaudy stats and how many yards they threw for. And it's like, if you really want to look at a stat, go look at their efficiency. That's the quarterback's job. And in college, you don't have to throw for 300 plus yards to win. And so when you have an offense that's not built on doing that. And I just don't understand when he's done everything under the sun to prove himself as a gamer and a winner, where that would even come into play. I think that's just a lot of spoiled fans, really, is what that boils down to. And, you know, the kid goes and wins another national championship. Now he's putting himself in a different bucket in terms of NDSU quarterback. So it's, I don't know. I just think it's noise, and I don't give it a second thought, really, because it doesn't even make sense.
I tell you, the one that I really loved, and man, if you get a chance to go on social media and check out, and maybe towards the end of the show, I can find it, but the Fargo Dome gave the NDSU creative team access to the catwalks, the skywalks. So their video crew got an overhead of the fake pitch lead for a touchdown.
Oh,
yeah. I figured you'd like that
one.
Oh, that, yeah, is... that was, it was very, very cool. I love the way that this offensive staff innovates new ways to run the football. Obviously I'm a big passing game guy. Having watched Aaron Rodgers for years before I watched Brett Favre, or after I watched Brett Favre, and then having watched, you know, Jensen, Wentz, Stick, Lance, like, I'm a big quarterback guy. But, man, the way that they were able to innovate that, like, the way that they find, like I said, new ways to run the football, just beautiful. It's just beautiful. What did you think of that one?
The sky cam view?
Just the play. I mean, the that can't be anything that used to be in the play. I've never seen that.
I've never seen that. I think I'd like to know if that was scripted or not. It doesn't seem like it was. I think that's just being an athlete. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's a thing of beauty. Put it in the Louvre.
And by the way, Great job by Dominic Cannell on that play. Like that, that is, he is not a fullback. He's a very, very, very good athlete, but he stoned UND's linebacker in the hole and Cam walked in. I mean, there are plenty of tailbacks that missed that block. And Dom Ganella just wasn't one of them on this day. Mentioned, you know, the defense a little bit suspect. Really buttoned up after they won, after UND got to the 21st point. And I asked Tut this after the game, and I thought it was really interesting, his answer. He basically said they did not make defensive adjustments after UND got to 21. He said, look, we just tackled better. We just played better. We didn't change up the scheme. We didn't do anything different. We just played better. Does that make sense to you, Trev?
Well, it does, because I don't like – I mean, give credit where credit's due. I mean, it's not like – I mean, we like to make fun of other teams and, you know, back our boys, but Thomas Schuster and Bo Bellquist are not awful football players. So, like, the fact that they've made some plays, like, okay, they got theirs, fine, you know. You just don't let it get away from you, and they didn't. So, I don't think there's really much to it. I thought they had a pretty decent game plan. Because you compare kind of recent games, and I know UND is much better at home, which is just a phenomenon I will never be able to understand. But the way they jumped on South Dakota State and the way that NDSU jumped on UND, you're talking two different teams, and it's definitely a microcosm of that team in a nutshell. But still, the fact that NDSU was able to do that and contain them a lot better than SDSU did, I thought that was very encouraging. So overall, I didn't think there was anything glaring that you would have to make any sort of personnel adjustment or any sort of scheme adjustment. So it doesn't surprise me.
Oh, there it is right there. God, that one's crazy. Yeah. And there's no, that's called. I mean, there's no way that's not improvised. This is a, because Dom's just, oh, man, that was sweet. I love that one, man. That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that. That was fun. Any other big takeaways from that one? Any other, you know, things that you're concerns moving forward or things? By the way, I do feel like it's worth mentioning. You know, Coach Entz did say that he felt like Joe Stoffel was going to be fine, and that did not seem like the case when we were live in the Dome. I'm sure it didn't seem, you know, a ton like the case when folks were watching the game on TV. That seemed like a scary one. And he said he got scared. He said he was smiling on the field, and that he said, I think I'm going to be okay. Now, maybe not, but I think he just got scared of the way, you know, kind of that he went down. And man, as much as it's a next man up mentality, and as impressed as I was and impressed as Cody Mauch was after the game with the way that Finn Diggins played, Stoffel's not a guy they can lose. I really don't believe that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the reaction from him stems from one, he said it himself, he got scared. But two, understanding his role in the team and the depth that they have right now for what they're going to need to make a run. And you can certainly get by and things can still fall your way if you don't have key players in place. But I think in his mind, he's thinking, well, if the season's over, he's out. I mean, there's probably a lot of thoughts going through his head in that moment, and none of them are going to be positive. So I think it's just calming down, taking the injury or whatever he's got dinged up for what it actually is, and just knowing that you're going to have to probably either get something shot up if it's that bad, or deal with the pain and know it might not get worse. Hope it doesn't get worse throughout the postseason.
I've got a mini rant, because this is something that came up on Twitter and something that I've been complained at about for years. And that's just the whole Bo Bellquist of it all. I'm over it. Like, they had a because of depth, which, by the way, you can see now they have depth. They had one scholarship left, one for a wide receiver. They gave it to DJ Hart. DJ Hart's really good. Like, Bo Bellquist didn't have Christian Watson and Phoenix Sproles playing in front of him, so he got to play right away at UND. Congratulations. And by the way, Bo Bellquist, a hell of a football player. I like Bo Bellquist. He could play on my team any day. But they used his scholarship to get DJ Hart, and DJ Hart's really good. And that's all I have to say about that. I can't do it anymore. I can't. Trev, I'm done.
I think it's just people wanting perfection when that's never going to be obtained. You're going to miss on people.
I get it.
You know, and it's not like there's this huge, huge regret for having DJ Hart be the guy versus Bo. I don't think it quite frankly matters.
I got a question for you. I'm going to try and find it here.
Okay.
This is fun to be able to, do some of this stuff with what we're talking about going on. Yeah, here it is. Because there's anger, Trevor. There's anger, frustration. The word classless was thrown around. Lack of class. You're seeing here the fake punt up 21 with 3 minutes left. Your guy and mine, Ben LeCompte, on Twitter defending this play. But why? Why do that? Why in that situation do that? If it's not running up the score, if it's not bad sportsmanship, if it's not all the things that UND fans are crying in their, you know, beers about, what was the point? Ben said it's to put it on film and that they'll get different punt safe looks from other teams, or they'll get more punt safe looks from other teams, and Steindorf will be able to, and I quote, hit bombs in the playoffs. But why do something like that?
Just to guarantee a win. I'm not going to apologize for going 58-3 in my career.
Fair enough.
You're guaranteeing a win if you get that first down. So I don't understand what the big deal is. It's not like they went and threw the ball to try to score after that.
Right. So, all wrong plays. Right. Right.
Let's say they return the punt and they house it. It's a 14-point game, onside kick. They get it, score again. It's a 7-point ball game.
Yeah.
That's not an unrealistic thing that happens every year. It's stuff like that happens every year. And I don't, people are just mad that their team lost and they're looking to point the finger and name call. Like, that's just, this stupid. If it was a 35-point game, then yeah. But when you have something that is, it's very, very unlikely. You know, it's the ESPN graphic of a 99.99% chance NDSU is going to win the game, even if they do decide to punt the ball.
Right.
I have seen crazier happen.
And I will say this too. Bubba didn't complain. And honestly, I asked a tough question at the end of the in the press conference. I asked, like, you had third and medium or fourth and medium, down 21 with 8 minutes left and with 5 minutes left, and you punted both times. Why? And he just kind of said, like, we didn't think we could convert the one with 8 minutes left, and with 5 minutes left, we didn't think like there was enough time. I mean, that is waving the white flag.
Yeah. I don't understand why that's even a thing. Is that just like a few like disgruntled fans, or is that like actually a thing right now? Well, people are saying that's a tasteless move or classless move.
Yeah, I mean, you'll find all the idiots you want on social media, but there's just a lot of complaining about it. And right, honestly, it did catch me off guard in the moment. I mean, I thought that they'd just kick it and India or UND would run it a couple of times and kick it back and there'd be a kneel down and whatever. I mean, the punt with 5 minutes left, basically from Bubba's own mouth, was that the game was over, you know, they didn't feel like they had enough time. I'm fine with all of it. I'm fine with whatever. I don't have any problem with North Dakota State sealing the win, keeping the ball in your offense, getting some reps for the twos as Cole Payton and Jalen Bussey got in there. And honestly, you know, that should be noted with Bussey. The kid walked, you know, and he's not going to play another regular season game at NDSU. So it was cool to get him some carries. And that was a fun thing, you know, for his teammates to see. You can feel like it came at the expense of UND, but whatever. I don't know what to tell you. You know, win the game, play better.
That's another thing where it's like, it's just noise. Who cares? I mean, I don't go win the game. No one should ever apologize for guaranteeing your team's going to win the game. It doesn't matter. So they can get over it.
So, as we kind of button things up here about the 33-minute mark, What takeaways did you have from that game? What surprised you? What made you happy? What do you feel like they probably need to work on as they continue to improve and be a better ball club in November than they were in August, and be a better ball club, and frankly, in December than they were in November?
I think capitalizing on turnover opportunities more. I think this team hasn't done that probably to the best of its ability quite yet. They're close. So defensively, I'd like to see that. Offensively, I was very encouraged by the physicality and just physical classic dominant run game that they had. It's the best I think they've put on tape from a four quarter standpoint all season, and being able to have that momentum going into December is huge because that's where championships are won. So, ball control, own the time of possession, play good defense. That's our bread and butter. That's how we've won 9 of the last 11 national titles. And I think they showed that they are capable of doing that for a run here. So that was very positive to see. And the biggest thing that I think for this group is number one, playing that consistent clean football. So not making the penalties and the big moments like they had been prone to kind of earlier in the season. It seems like they've cleaned up the missed tackles for the most part. UND got theirs a few times, but you know what? Other teams are going to be able to do that in the playoffs, and it's how you bounce back. And I thought they bounced back well. So, I'm very encouraged by this team, and they are slowly, I'll emphasize that, becoming one of my favorite groups as a fan. So,
All right. Got to be encouraged by the win. Got to be encouraged by the draw, I believe. Thank you to Trevor Gebhardt. Thank you to our good friends right here at Tundra Insurance and our presenting sponsor, Gateway Chevrolet. Have a phenomenal week, everybody, and go Bison.